Let's open our Bibles. I'm going to look at two scriptures and then focus on today. James chapter 3, if you would. James chapter 3. And we're going to go to Proverbs 18, verse 20. But James chapter 3. And I want everybody, whether you've got an iPad or an iPhone or you can follow along in those different translations. I'm going to have a few translations, but James chapter 3, and I'm going to read from the King James Version. And I'll wait a minute for you to get there. I'm going to look for verse 1, and I'm going to read down through verse 12. James chapter 3. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word," say word. See, so the offense is in the word that you speak. "The same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Say the whole body. "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." I love King James. You go, what is a listeth? That's not a lisp. It's. Verse 5. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Verse 6. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body." See, the whole body. Say the whole body. "And setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." Don't we see that today? "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." So what this is saying here is that, let's go back up and just look at this here. It says here, if we offend not in word, it says the same as a perfect man. That doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. It just means that you've come to an age of perfection or maturity. And it says you're able to bridle the whole body. That means you can keep in check the whole body. That means this body, you can guide it, you can direct it, or restrain it with the tongue. That means that your body does not have control over you. You have control over your body by what you say. You know, I kind of laugh sometimes, you know, I've done it through the years. And, you know, I'm beginning to change that. And I have changed it. But you hear people say, "I just have a taste for this." And they let their taste control their appetite and what they do. And that's why you see some folks can't control their eating habits, because they've said it so much that their body controls them and their appetites control them. And I remember years ago when hearing messages by Brother Hagin when he was alive. He said during the Depression days, he would go down into this little town, and he'd walk in, and every time he'd come in, he's a little guy, they'd give him a soda, and he'd call it a pop. And he said, they give me a pop. And so he said, every day I'm looking forward to that pop. And he said, finally, he began to want it. And finally, he realized the desire was controlling him. He didn't want to be controlled by his appetites. So he said, you know what? When they handed, he said, no, I'm not taking it today. No, I'm not doing that. Now, did he want it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want it. You want the ice cream and the ribs and the whatever it is you like. Oh, yeah. I want it. But I'm not taking it because I'm not letting my body control me. Amen. I'm not letting it control me. And so this is what we talk about here. The words that we speak is able to bridle the whole body. And then it goes on, and this is what I like down here, verse 6, and it says that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth, again, it talks about the whole body, it defileth the whole body and is set on fire, and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. That word defile, this is interesting. Sometimes it helps to look up words either in the Greek. You can get them on. You can go to a Greek dictionary online, look at this stuff, Strong's Concordance, or you can look at just a regular Merriam-Webster or anything, right? But the word defile means to debase. Well, when you debase something, it means to lower in status. It means in quality or character. So you can defile and debase your whole body by what you say. That's pretty strong. Because God has called you blessed. He's called you healed. He's called you prosperous. He's called you above and not beneath. And then you turn around and you say, I'm so stupid. I don't know. I can't figure this out. I'm getting so old. I'm so weak. I'm so tired. I'm so overweight. I'm so skinny. I'm so dumb. You're defiling your whole body. You're debasing yourself with your words. And forget about society. Society will call you all kinds of ugly names. And society will defile you. And if you hook up with their words and agree with them, then you've hooked up with defiling yourself with words that God never said about you. And that's why you need to think about yourself not how society sees you, but how God sees you. How does God see you? He calls you a priest and a king. I don't care what society says about you. You are God's child. And society will fight, especially, you know, it bothers me when I see some of the stuff going on today. The devil's trying to stir up race stuff again. And you need to see where it comes from. It comes from the pit of hell. And you are a child of God. And you've got people that are being pulled on with like a puppet to cause some of this stuff. And you need to fight it with everything that's in you. And stop trying to protest people and fight people. Because people are blinded if they're lost. And so you need to just pray, keep your spirit sweet, keep your spirit walking in love with people. If God leads you into government and do things, so do it. Go ahead and do that. But my point in all of this is that don't speak ill of yourself. Talk words that are in line with how God sees you and talks about you. You speak those words. Amen. Glory to God. Now, let me just read some other translations here. You can follow along. The New International Version, in verse 6, it says, "The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire." So that means that your whole life, the New Living Translation, it says, "Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other area." So that means when we get control of our tongue, we control and take control of every other area in our life. And you may not think so, but reflect on it. Think about it. I'm telling you, the Word of God is so. I've put some things in motion when I was a young person. If I had to go back and relive my life, I'll tell you this principle right here, I'd change, because I said stupid stuff because I didn't know any better. And I said things that set the course of my life in motion in some areas that I didn't have to. And I could have been more successful as a young person if I had put this in place. See? And we don't have to. That's why we teach the Word of God. We share it. If you will take these principles and you apply them, you will make yourself prosperous. And you will be a success. Things you've dreamed of. Things you want. You know, I'm trying to think. We got a wonderful email the other day from a lady that's, she was coming to the church from Long Island, and they found a church closer to home. But she heard a testimony of one of our deacon couples here years ago. And that deacon couple decided, they had three children, and they decided they were not going to pay college tuition for any of their children. They said, we are not going to pay college tuition. We're believing God, and we decree it that we will not pay one dime for our children's education. And they began to speak that and proclaim it as husband and wife. Two of their boys went through West Point, didn't pay a dime. The other girl went through school, went through college, and then she went overseas to Europe and played professional basketball. Then she came back after a number of years of playing professional basketball, went through Harvard, became a lawyer, didn't pay a dime. And now she's practicing law in Washington, D.C. So none of their children paid one dime. They either got scholarships or whatever they did, but they didn't pay for it. And so this mother, single mother, raising her boy, limited income. She's a teacher now. She's a teacher in a grade school. And she heard that testimony, and she began to decree it, just like this other couple. And she said, "I will not pay for tuition for my young boy." And he's still young. But listen to this. He had an opportunity. See, this is why I say, stop trying to figure out how to open doors. Just decree it that I will not pay. And so what happened, an opportunity came about and he's an African-American young boy. And an opportunity came about where they were selecting children for a very high honors select program. There were, I think they said, somewhere around 6,000 or 8,000 that they went through, names and blah, blah, blah. They culled it down to 2,000. And then when they got it down, they began to interview one-on-one. And then they interviewed and interviewed, and he is now one of 70 that were selected for that program. Not one dime. Not one dime being paid for. Because she heard a testimony of a couple who decided to do what? Meditate in the Word of God and speak it over their family and their children's lives. They didn't pay a dime, and one girl said, "That's for me. I'm taking it." Not, "Oh, that's nice. Yep." And that's what you would have got, a big fat yawn and a big fat nothing, because you didn't do anything. But she was excited and said, "There's hope. If it worked for them, I take it. I'm going to do it." And she did it. Didn't change overnight. Benjamin's probably about maybe 11 or 12. But she got the answer. And doors began to open up. And opportunities are now being afforded this young boy that aren't for others. See? And the same thing will happen for every single one of us in here. Things that you're believing for, things you're dreaming for, things that God has put in your heart or something you desire, you can have it if you will apply the Word of God and begin to speak it. I must say this, when it comes to faith, faith must be in two places. You may want to write this down. Faith must be in two places in order for it to work for you. It must be in your heart, and it must be in your mouth. Faith has got to be in both places at the same time, or faith will not work. You know, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. But faith has to be in both places at the same time, otherwise faith doesn't work. And faith, it says faith, why don't you go over here a second? We'll look at a couple of scriptures. I'm trying to go over to James chapter 2 for a minute. Just turn over there and we'll get over to Proverbs 18. But just look at James chapter 2. And verse 17. And I want you to look at verse 26. Verse 17 and verse 26. James chapter 2. Verse 17, or verse 26, it says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Verse 26 of chapter 2, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So faith has to be in both places at the same time working, or it won't work. Has to be in your heart. Faith has to come and be in your heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith then has to be spoken. Has to come out of your mouth. How did you get saved? "I believed in my heart and I then spoke and I said something. Jesus, come into my heart." So you've got to have it in both places, otherwise faith won't work. And this is what we're talking when we look at, you know, when we go back and we look at James 3, it says the tongue defileth our whole body. You say it long enough and you decree it, it'll come to pass. It'll be so. So the question is, can you control or change habits? Can you control or change addictions? Can you control and change appetites? Yes. Through your words. Let's go over to Proverbs 18. So you can set the entire course of your life in motion by the words that we speak. Proverbs 18. I'm going to read a scripture as you're going over there. Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence. See, we're talking about the heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I like some of these translations, the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, above everything else, guard your heart, talking about your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. So the consequences that happen. And again, that doesn't mean that the devil doesn't throw things, but I didn't start it. I didn't create it. I didn't open the door. And then I can enforce his defeat. By what? By what I say. What I decree. You have no control over me. Amen. Proverbs 18. In verse 20, it says, and this is the King James, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Say, shall be. What is shall be? Is shall be present tense or future tense?
Future.
So this says here that the increase of his lips shall be, what? Filled. So that means if you want to be filled, you got to do, if you want the shall be, you got to increase something in your lips, right? So if you want more money, if you want more success, you've got to put something in your lips. What that means is something precedes the receiving part. So if I want to receive something from life, I've got to precede it with something else. So your words or your confession has to precede your possession of something. So if you want to possess something, you want to possess peace of mind, you're not walking in peace, you're in worry about everything, you're worrying, you've got to precede that with something, right? You've got to talk peace. You've got to release words of peace, even when you're not in peace. And you've got to find something, and this is what we're talking about today, is that you shall decree a thing. You've got to decree something based on faith, not just something in your mind. See, because it's got to be in both places. I can say something, but if it's not in my heart, it's not working. I'm in peace, and then you're over here talking something else and worrying, you see. But I've got to speak something that God promised. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. And what else? Supplication. And then he goes on to say that in Philippians, he says that the peace of God, over here, he said in Philippians 3 or 4, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all other understanding, shall keep your what? Your hearts and your minds. Through Christ. So you've got to have it in your heart and in your mouth. And if it's not in your heart, keep feeding on the word of God. Keep speaking. I know Brother Hagin used to say it this way. The principle's the same. He said you can speak yourself into faith. You can school yourself into faith by speaking something you don't believe. Well, we see that in the world. Somebody tells a lie long enough, they believe it. So they didn't believe it at first, but they kept saying it so long that they believe it. They believe the lie. And so here, if you take God's word and you say, well, you know, I'm not so sure about that. Faith comes by hearing. And you hear yourself say something long enough, faith will come. And faith will come from a place where you didn't believe it. See? And that's the point, that faith comes by hearing. You keep hearing yourself say something, and you will believe it. I believe that I'm sharp and bright. You may think, not me. Oh, yeah. Keep saying it. I'm strong in the Lord, and you're just, I can't put one foot in front of the other. But I am strong in the Lord. My body's strong. My mind is sharp. I'm quick. I don't forget things. Well, maybe you do. Keep saying it. Don't say what you don't want. You know, I'm hitting 60-something. You know, my mind don't work. It won't. And it won't. It won't. You know, my mother's turning 93. She's spunky. Doesn't use a walker. She's cranking around, doing the things. Bright, sharp, quick. Because you don't think negative. She doesn't know as much of the word here as I do. But here's the point. She doesn't talk negative. She doesn't talk, oh, woe is me. I don't know what I'm going to. So the principles still apply. Even though you're not working them, the principle, I see it in her life. She's not demented. She's not walking around forgetting things because she doesn't talk it. She doesn't say it. See, here's what happens. You keep talking it. You start putting in motion in your body, chemically, things that go on, and you don't even realize it. You have control. Your words create. Think about this. Genesis 1:27, what did God say? He made man in your image. He said, I will make man in the image and likeness of God. John 4:24, God is a spirit. So if God is a spirit and we're made in his image and likeness, what are we? Spirit. We live in a body. We have a soul, but we are a spirit. And that means that the words that we speak, what did Jesus say in John 6:63? The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. So that means words that you speak create things. They put things in motion. That's what it said in James. See, we can interpret scripture. James 3:6 said, the words that you speak. Now again, my words aren't set on fire from hell. See, if hell can inspire your tongue, so can heaven. Amen. And heaven is inspiring my tongue to speak words of life that create health, that create blessing, that create brightness of mind, create strength, create opportunities for me to preach the gospel, create good and blessing, right? It just didn't happen. It was created with words that we speak. You want a prosperous business. You're a business owner. You don't speak lack. Don't speak lack. Speak blessing. Isn't that what James said? He said, a fig tree says bear olive berries. No. So that means, if you speak blessing, you can't expect negative or a curse. If you speak a curse or negative, then you cannot expect blessing because you've put some things in motion. You've created the climate. You've created it. All the circumstances in your life are set in motion by what you say. That's why it's so important. You know, when we look at these things, that's why parenting is so important. Because parents by what they say to their children and how they talk to their children can frame their minds and their attitudes about things to see things the way God has spoken. And when parents share things, sharing with them that with God, with God's help, and putting his word in your mouth, you can achieve things. See? And hard work. But we need to, that's why, you know, when we see things in society, that's why when it talks about the God of this world has blinded those that are lost, you see whole segments because the devil has worked through people to suppress people. And then people have bought the words that have been spoken over them and then have what? Spoken them. Over themselves, over their families. And so you have generation after generation being things put in motion by words. And that's why it's so important that the church has so much to give and to impart and to raise the sights and level of what we have, that we can change generations. We can change the hearts and minds of the young people, ourselves as adults, but the younger ones coming up, to see that, look, society can be changed. By what? The influence of what we teach and share. We are a light and salt to this earth. And God's word put in our mouth can change a whole nation and a society. Can change it. I don't care what society is coming against you with, you can change it. The devil does not have control over you. He does not. His power has been broken. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Proverbs 18, let's go back there. And we read that. Let me read this from some other translations here. The New International Version. It says, verse 21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Well, let me read 20. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, see, the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. What created the harvest? You planted some seed in your heart, and it generated and created a harvest of something, what? Coming out of, from the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the fruit. So here it says, with the harvest from the lips, he is satisfied. Good News Translation. We will have to live, listen to this, we will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. This is Good News Translation. What you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. Complete Jewish Bible, it says, a person's belly will be filled with the fruit of his mouth. With what his lips produce, he will be filled. So those things are key and important. Now, I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, 38. And 39. Luke chapter 4, verse 38 and 39. And it says, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her. Talking about Jesus here. And he did what? He rebuked the fever. And it did what? And it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Isn't that interesting? He released words. He rebuked the fever. And what did it do? It left. So let me ask this question. If fevers can respond to words, what else can respond to words? If a fever can respond to a word, and words, could high blood pressure respond to words? Yes. Could heart problems respond to words? Yes. Could your bank account respond to words? Yes. Could your kidneys respond to words? Your pancreas? Yes. And so, again, it's got to be in two places. Is it in your heart and in your mouth? And it will work. It will respond. This is what happened here. Jesus rebuked the fever, and he spoke to the winds. He spoke to the fig tree, and it responded. Now, turn over to Matthew 21. And some folks will say, well, you know, that was Jesus. Okay, prove your point. You know, as they say in a court of law, make your case. Make your case. Because if it was Jesus, then we can't do it then. If it was just Jesus and he spoke and we can't do that, then I think he would have said something in the scriptures, but he didn't. Matthew 21:21, it says, and Jesus answered, because this is Mark 11:23 and 22:23, but I'm going to read it from Matthew 21:21. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, he's talking about the fig tree, verily I say unto you, if you have faith. See, now, that would have been the perfect time for Jesus to say, only I can do this, boys. You can't do this. See, but he didn't say that. He said, if you have faith and do what? And doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, which I just did, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. So what he's saying here is, if you have faith, and speak it, and release it, it'll change. Right? So Proverbs, let me read this here. Why don't you go to Job? Job 22 and 28. Job 22 and 28. Come next week, I'm going to do more storytelling next week. I'm going to share stories or experiences of things that I've had, others have had. And you come next week, you're going to hear some things that prove the word of God. Job 22:28, it says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. I like the New International Version. If you have that, this is a great translation of this. It says, what you decide on will be done. Not God. What you decide on will be done. And another translation is called the Young's Literal Translation. It says, and thou decreest a saying, and it is established to thee. So what we say has weight. I'm going to say another thing. The words that you speak have more weight, have more impact in your life than even God. The words that you speak, the words that you release in faith, have more impact in your life, more weight than even God's word. Yes, God is sovereign, and he can speak and say some things into your life, but he can't make you saved. You, see, if he could, then he would just save everybody. So the words that you speak have more impact in those areas than even God. He's already said, Christ hath redeemed you from the curse of the law. But then you can talk curse. You see, you can talk curse and your words will have more weight. Your words will set in motion the curse from which God has redeemed you from. See? So it's so important that the words that we speak, the things that we say, what is Revelation 12:11? And they overcame, or they overcome, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So the blood of Jesus, the blood and the words that you speak have impact. You'll overcome with that. Anybody getting anything? Anybody, is this helping anybody? Because again, let me finish up with this here, because we have communion. John 14. Let's look at this. John chapter 14. And look at verse 10. John 14. John 14 and verse 10. It says, in the King James, I'm going to read this from a few other translations, but start with the King James. It says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? What does he say next? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Okay, let me read this from the New Living Translation. See, because sometimes we think he doeth the works, and right away, you know, the way we use words in the English language, we think works means some action, and it is an action, but we think, you know, picking up a shovel, doing something, but it can mean that, but it also can mean something else. And that's why you need to look at some other translations and the words and see what did he mean by the word works here. The Father doeth the works. The New Living Translation. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but the Father who lives in me does his work through me. He does his work through me. He inspires me. He motivates me to say something, to do something, to go somewhere. It's the Father working through me. That's what he did with Jesus. He would show him something. He would say to him, say this. So it was the Father working through Jesus to do something. And in a lot of the cases, it was to say something. The Message translation. I like this. The Message says it in a way sometimes. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. Listen to this. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. He crafts each word in me into a divine act. It's wholly inspired. I like that. So God will put ideas and things in you and desires. He crafted that in you. He put that in you. He's put in each one of us gifts and talents that are in us. And those things get awakened when God comes in to reside. They get stirred up. But then we have life facing us and society and stuff. But God's in there. He didn't go away. He's living in here. And he's going to stimulate and stir and do what? Craft words and ideas for you to do what? Execute them. He's going to show you how to do those things that he's put in you. Each one of us have something that we can not only receive, we not receive, we all have that available, but there's something in each one of us that can support the kingdom of God. Every one of us. And he crafts and puts in each one of us a desire, something that might be different in you than me. And he's going to do what? Show us how to do that. And we've got to be sensitive to that and not stop looking at and stop saying, I can't. Because remember, you will set the consequences of your life by what you say. If God has shown you something, stop trying to figure out, you know, so often when we see something, God will show us something. Or we recognize, you know, I kind of smile when you see the award show and the basketball players and the actors and actresses, they all get up and they say, I want to give all God glory to God, right? So there is in each one of them, they recognize that there's a God-given talent in them. And they might not be using it for him, but they recognize that what they're doing, they couldn't have done this by themselves. There's a talent in them. There's a grace. And so there's something in each one of us. But it's recognizing and letting God show you how to accomplish that. And more often than not, he may have shown it to you when you were very young. And then life and circumstances and choices that we've made have muddied it all up. And then we look, and then what happens when we get older? We just go, the heck with it. No. God didn't change his mind. And you look at the scripture, and it talks about those that receive talents. He's going to say, "Did you take that talent and bury it in the ground? You're going to have to give me an account of that talent that you had. What'd you do? Did you just bury it? No, I didn't change my mind. I gave that to you. And so for you, you ought to start doing what? Saying things. Say, okay, God, I'm going to go back. I recognize you gave me this talent. I decree that I have it. Now show me how to do this." You know, I heard this story. I don't remember. It was a story a minister shared years ago about a woman. She was retired. You know, I forget the whole detail of the story. I think it was her husband passed away, so now she's a widower, and she's by herself. She's on limited income and so forth and so on, right? And she's in the latter years of her life. She was in her 70s. God gave her one creative idea, one idea, and it was creative, and she knew it was from God. That idea got patented, and she made millions of dollars, millions. And the story went, she had a staff of about 50 to 100 working for her to support that idea. She didn't try to make it. It was a God-given idea. So I don't care what age you are. If God showed you something, don't bury it. It could be for later life. Maybe you have a responsibility. You know, you're parenting and you have responsibilities. You're not being neglectful, but don't bury that. Don't just throw it away and go, ah, maybe I just had a pizza and I was dreaming something. You know, you know, don't bury it and throw it out. God could have been showing that to you for your later down the road, amen, later down in life. And don't throw it away. So you take that and begin to speak words. Say, my body's strong. My body's healed. My bank accounts are full, prosperous. What does it say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. What's the evidence? Faith. Faith calls those things that be not. Yes. Romans 4, 17. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. So when we don't have something, that's the time you call it. You speak it. If you're going through high school and you're not sure about what college, or you're not even sure you even want to go to college, begin to call in and speak the desires of your heart. If you want to be a business owner and you want that, begin to speak that. Begin to release words of faith. God will open up some things. I had a young, I call him a young man. There was a guy that worked on staff on as a volunteer for years with me in the sound area. And he was an MIT graduate. He was very bright. He went through engineering school at MIT, chemical engineering. And he worked for a number of oil. He's still in the oil business. He worked for Mobil, and then he transitioned over to Hess. And he was very diligent. He worked his regular job, and he would come to choir rehearsals and all of the things that we did. He was there Sunday, Wednesday, so forth, running sound with me. I could sing in the choir, and he'd be up there running sound when I have to do my responsibility or sing. He worked directly for Mr. Hess. And he said to me one day, I mean, he was very bright. And it finally got to the point at Hess where he was the national, I think he said the national director for coordinating all the fuel for Hess. He had his BlackBerry, he was doing contract, he'd be running sound and he'd be getting stuff on his BlackBerry. And he was coordinating shiploads, millions and millions of dollars worth of money in oil. And he said to me one time, he said, there's a lot of people brighter than I am. He said, God has opened doors for me to work at this level. And he was, even now, I mean, you can go out on Hess's site, you can see him as one of the, you know, he's a senior VP. And I mean, he's up at the highest level. And, you know, and he was faithful in his church, still faithful. He's going to another church. But the point being that he lived a life and began to speak words. And, you know, even for him, you know, again, some of these opportunities, African American. So please don't tell me that opportunities aren't there. He worked hard, he was bright, but doors opened. And he spoke things, see. And he operates, they jet him around. He's all over on private jets. He told me, he said, oh, they're flying me down because Hess has a number of private jets. When you get at a certain level, they protect you because you're a valuable asset to that company. And they have private jets. You don't take commercial. No. No, you don't take commercial because at certain level they fly the certain executives because you are an extremely valuable asset to that company. If they have a private jet, they're flying you somewhere. Because time is money and so forth. So what I'm saying is that these things that seem so unreachable to us are not unreachable. I'll tell you another story, and then I'll let you go. Brother Hagin taught these principles. Jesus appeared to him and he said, go teach my people faith. And he did that faithfully for 65 years. And he said that he would teach faith, just like this, teaching, speaking. He would teach faith all the time. And people in later years would say, is he going to teach anything else? You know, we've heard this before. Reason he's teaching it is because when you get it, he knows it. Because what you're excited about, what you work and what you apply, you can see it. What did Jesus say? When that man in Capernaum couldn't get into the house that he was teaching on the Sea of Galilee, they tore the roof off. And they lowered him in, and what did it say? Jesus saw, he saw their faith. So when you're teaching, you can see faith in people. You can see it. They're excited about it. They're like, yes, I've got this. And so this young man came in. He was in his 20s. He was young. He heard this message of faith, and he began to take it in his life and apply it. And God led him into the real estate business. This was years ago when there was more real estate to be bought, right? Land. And God started having him. He would lead him. He'd say, go over here. And out in Oklahoma, you had just nothing but farm pastures. Far as you could see, it was just nothing but farming, open space, space to be bought up, malls to be built. You go out there now, it's nothing but malls for miles and miles. It wasn't that way. And so God led him to buy up property after property. He became a multi-millionaire with his own private jets to fly him around. And he was a young man that began to take the word of God, put it in his heart, and speak it, and speak it, and speak it. And speak it. So the principles, if worked, whether or not God leads you into business, or whether God leads you to own your own business, or whether God leads you to be whatever he leads you to be, the principles are still the same. If you put it in your heart, and you speak it, and you meditate on it, you'll make your way prosperous. And you'll have good success. And you will eat the good of the land. And no one, no government will restrict that from you. No government will. Now, it's going to take some effort and some time and some diligence. But you can have it. Because God's given it to us. He's given us the word. Amen. Praise God.